Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, second line into the wide lines, okay? Now, I think what we're going to do is, I think we're going to finish the first parak. We're going to do this sugya, and then we're going to go back to the sugya on the beginning of Amud Aleph. Okay, let me give you a little background. The Gemara on the bottom of New Testament Beis Chaf Amud Aleph introduces three prohibitions that are derived from the pasuk Lo Techanem or Lo Sechanem. Okay, one is a prohibition to sell land in Eretz Yisrael to non-Jews. Lo Titen Lahem Chanaya Bekarka. One is to not give them a free gift, right? Interpreting the word as chinam, right? Techonim as don't give them something bichinam. And the third is to not praise them, right? Not to say kama na'e, how beautiful is this this non-Jew. Motitim, right?
That's what we did now, the last word.
Good. So we're going to come back to it, right? I mean, I think these three prohibitions are, first of all, the lumdus is fascinating and very, very complicated, but also very halachal maisa. There's been a lot of debate about some of these in the last few years, especially the renting in Eretz Yisrael. There's been a big discussion in Eretz Yisrael. But yes, that's the context. Now, one of them, as I said, is not to praise them. So in that context, Gemara says, Davaracha lo sechanem lo titen lo mchein. So misayi le the rav, Davarav asu ladim shimur kamenah avodis kochavim zo. This supports the position of rav, that you can't say how beautiful is this idolatrous woman. Now the Yavetz points out, Rabbi Agamemnon points out that obviously the issue at this stage in the Gemara is nothing sexual. It's about praising an idolater or an idolatress, right? He just says normally when you're talking about a man, right, he's going to say that about a woman. But the same would be true in the reverse. If someone would say it about a man, right, the same thing would be prohibited. Yes, right, that should be obvious, right? At this stage in the Gemara has not yet introduced the sexual context, right? It's simply an idolatrous context, right, that you can't praise a non-Jew because of one of these three derivations from the pasuk of Lo Sechanem. Again, we're going to come back to those three, but because of the relevance to this sugya, to what we just spent eight shiurim on or something like that, I'm skipping to the end of the sugya and then we'll come back to the middle. Okay. So the Gemara says, but how could that be? And Amar Marabu Masecha Hashem. Right, this is a great pickup line. If it weren't a non-Jewish woman, right, right. If it weren't a non-Jewish, an idolatress, right. He sees a woman and he's like, "How beautiful are your creations, O God?" Right.
Okay.
V'afra Bikiva Ra H's Turnus Rufus Harasha. Rabbi Kiva saw the wife of Turnus Rufus. Rak Sachak Ubacha. He spit. He laughed and he cried. He spit because to physically show that she came from a spoiled drop, meaning of semen, right? Which looks essentially like spit. Right? That's the
Turnus Rufus. Who's that?
Oh, he's a officer, a Roman officer that comes up a lot in
life of Kiva. It's two words in English.
Turnus Rufus. Yes. Whatever. Yes. Turnus Rufus. Like so, anyways. He laughed because he said, I see Baruch HaKodesh, she's going to convert, I'm going to marry her. And she is quite good looking. Bacha, and he cried, Dai Shufra Bali Afra. He cried because one day this beauty would die and would be, would be disintegrated into earth.
So he spat, laughed, and cried?
Yes.
Okay.
Fine, that's not the point, okay? The Rav...
The word you said it was different from what it sounded like, what he did in the
But that's what he did, okay? The Rav, Odu Yehuda Komode, Dama Rav, Arav, Riyas, Tovas, Arav, Baruch, Shekacha, Baruch, Olamo. So the Gemara says, how is Rav allowed to say, this woman is beautiful? He wasn't praising the woman. He was praising Kadosh Baruch Hu. And he was making a bracha, because you're allowed to make a bracha on beautiful... You have to make a bracha on beautiful things.
He's talking about the creation that God made from that woman. No?
No, he's talking about the woman.
Yeah, but God made that.
Yeah, exactly, right? Meaning you're not allowed to say it for the woman. You can say it... By the way, parentheses. Guys, parentheses. there is this discussion in Poskim of whether this is a chiyuv or not a chiyuv, whether there is this, many Poskim will be against saying these brachot in general. You ask me, I think they're very important. Well, I say them b'shem u'malchus, right? I say them b'shem u'malchus, not on people usually. For the same thing is true if you see a beautiful tree, right? When I went, I think I mentioned this before. When I went with some friends to Sequoia National Park, right? And I saw the biggest trees, the widest trees in the world. They're some of the tallest trees and the widest trees in the world. They're thousands of years old. They're massive. I said the bracha b'shem u'malchus. Baruch atah Hashem u'kein ha'olam shekacha lo ba'olamo. And I would just point out that a very easy way to change what could be simply a vacation into a religious experience is to remember that there are brachot that are meant to contextualize appreciation of the world that God created, right? And a simple what?
There's one you say over like the large body of water.
Right, same. There's over water, and there's ones over the Grand Canyon and things like that. All these.
That what?
The Grand Canyon also does a special about Pesach.
Yes, over great. Basically, there are all these brachot, variations on these brachot of great natural, whatever phenomenon or.
So you could do also bracha for Niagara Falls.
Yeah, ostensibly, right? Again, Niagara is a bit of a shaila. You can't actually have Niagara for technicality, because Niagara is tampered with by human beings. Right, it's no longer
there's the nature itself.
Meaning, it wasn't. It's not anymore. When you see Niagara Falls, it is no longer otherwise, yes.
Because it's
more
man-made.
Parenthetically,
now.
You can't make the bracha on Niagara Falls.
Why?
Because it's controlled by human beings. Because we use it.
Yeah,
because we use it. I mean, the bracha has to be on something which is natural, right? And therefore, since at this point Niagara is controlled by human beings, it actually doesn't fit the rubric. So you can say without a bracha, you want to say without b'shem malchus, it's fine. You can't say b'shem malchus. It is heavily controlled by human beings. I cannot. My father-in-law is an engineer, and he loves talking about the way. He's an electrical engineer. He loves talking about the way we control Niagara Falls for electricity. I've heard this spiel many times. They do it in a lot of these places. It's not just yes. But again, my point is simply that what the Gemara is telling you, and again, the main sugya is in brachot, so I don't want to get into it. But there is this value to appreciating nature, and it's so easy, right? I said a drush on this once in Shul in Toronto, right? That it is so easy to take what could be a vacation bereft of spirituality and transform it into an opportunity. I'm not saying to learn for 17 hours on your vacation and not relax, but if you're in Kvar, you're a nature person, and you're going on a beautiful hike, or you're going to the Grand Canyon, or you're going to whatever, to say a bracha, even if you paskin without Shem U'malchus, though I think you can say it b'shem u'malchus, right? But to say a bracha and take 5 seconds to contextualize it in the context of a broader appreciation of a Kadosh Baruch Hu's world totally transforms your vacation without taking away from the enjoyment. But it makes it a spiritual experience, right?
It seems to me that it would help you get in your 100 brachas a day.
That too, so we don't really need that during the week. It's pretty easy.
Well,
if you miss Shacharis and Mincha and Echanami, but you have bigger problems.
You could say also, you see it National Park in America, yeah? It's controlled by the government itself.
No, that's different. But they're not controlled.
It's correct.
No.
But still controlled.
No. They're protecting it so that it'll be untempered. As opposed to Niagara that's tampered with.
You mean it's tampered? Okay.
I mean, Niagara is actually controlled. Like, they cut off the water. And they let more water through. It's not all natural. Okay, fine.
When you say multiple brachas in a day, or will it be like one?
Okay, that's a deal for another time. My point is that these brachot, and by the way, if you look in the art scroll, guys, you look in the art scroll, there's a page of these. It's not like you have to go searching for these brachot. Okay, good. Now, so the Gemara says that he said the bracha. So just in context, what is the Gemara doing? The Gemara is saying that he's appreciating her beauty, but... Again, we'll come back to this when we get to the sugya. He's appreciating her beauty, which you might have thought is forbidden because of lo sicha name, but it's permitted because he wasn't appreciating her beauty qua her beauty. He was appreciating her beauty the way you'd appreciate the beauty of the Grand Canyon, right? He was thanking God for having created this natural thing. That's what it was. I don't know what we could think about what the context is, but that's where he was. Okay, fine. Now,
the thing is,
but now the Gemara has a text. So that's what the Gemara is doing functionally, right? It's saying that it's forbidden to praise the goy, right? The Akum. But he wasn't. He was praising God for creating this beauty, right? It could be a woman. It could be the Grand Canyon. It could be a tree, right? Okay, fine. Good. And then the Gemara suddenly sort of snaps out of its pure halachic realm, right? And says, wait a second, right? That's not how life works, right? It's not the case that staring at a beautiful woman is substantively the same way that a male will react to looking at a beautiful tree. So it's just not the same.
So you're
right?
Questioning if you're lying.
I will just point out that literarily I love this moment in the Gemara. Right? Guys, if you appreciate the way the Gemara works literarily, do you understand how funny it is? Right? Like, you have to sometimes appreciate the humor and how the Gemara writes. Right? The Gemara went like 10 lines with the suspension of disbelief. Right? It never mentioned the fact that the relevance here was a woman, right? It talked about a guy who happened to be a woman. It talks about how he's making a bracha just like he would on a tree, right? But it doesn't, like, address the fact, like, for, like, 10 lines, it sort of keeps you in that suspension of disbelief, right? That, well, yeah, this just happens sometimes.
Pure world.
Exactly. But then, like, the Gemara, like, I love when the Gemara sometimes, like, purposely shoves the obvious undertone to the side for a moment and then, like, wakes up. Right? And the Gemara says, wait a second. This wasn't a tree, nor was it a painting, nor was it a Stam non-Jew who was very good looking. Right? It was a female. Right? So the Gemara says, Ulistakule Mishari. What is he doing staring at this woman? Yes,
well, Don. You said staring.
The Gemara hasn't solved the problem yet.
The thing is,
the Gemara hasn't solved the problem, right? The Gemara, we'll get to it. You're right. There can be a difference between looking and staring, and we will come to that. But the Gemara has not yet posited such a thing, right? And, right, the Gemara's solution is going to be something like it was looking but not staring. The problem is, you read the beginning of the Gemara, what does it sound like?
So it sounds like he's looking, staring.
Yeah, it looks like he's staring because, you know, look, let's pretend it's not a woman here. Let's pretend it's the tree in Sequoia National Park, right?
Why Sequoia National Park?
That's where I saw it. Okay. It could be anywhere. It happened to be where I was. Okay. Redwood, you happy? I don't care. Take your pick.
Okay.
Fine. These are the biggest trees in the world, okay? Redwoods are the tallest, Sequoia the largest, right?
Every time.
Okay? If I was talking about the tree, do you think, right? Again, we're not talking about the woman yet. Okay. Do you think that when I was at Sequoia National Park, I went into the park and I said, I want to make a bracha. Wait, guys. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to look up for a second, then I'm going to look down as fast as I can, just to be yoytzeis on the bracha. 1, 2, 3. Okay, I'm not looking. No, obviously not, right? The fact that Gemara compares that bracha to a beautiful woman, the simplest shot at first glance, right, was that that's not what was going on, right? Okay, you're right, that's Gemara, you're right, the Gemara would not conclude what I just said, but the first glance,
there's no
right?
Women there, what's the
right? Okay.
What do you mean then?
What?
You're appreciating the beauty of
it. No, that's the Gemara's, but that's the Gemara's problem. Fine, so the Gemara says, how did he do this? Meisve, v'nishmarta mikol davara. You have to protect yourself from all evil things. Now, what context is that in the pasuk? Did anyone bother looking at the pasuk?
Wait, which part?
Yes, the pasuk that the Gemara quotes.
We did those things.
Did you do the pasuk?
When you leave your camps.
It's talking about when you go to war, and you're supposed to distance yourself from all davara. Right, now what is davara? What does it mean in context?
Things that are bad.
Yeah, what is it in context? People who have apparently never learned chumash.
Noshim.
No.
That, well, could be noshim.
No.
I think that has an emotional connection to you.
What is the context?
No, emotional connection.
War is in Martin.
What emotional connection?
Oh my god, people.
No, before you go to war, you have to distance yourself of an emotional connection. You don't become
no.
What? Donnie.
No. What does it say? Right? It's what in context, what does it say? Two things. It's if somebody is impure because he had a seminal emission and he can't come into the camp. That's one. And two is that you should carry a shovel with you so that if you need to go to the bathroom, you can bury the excrement.
Oh.
It's not talking about looking at women, right? This is not the pshat in the context of the pasuk, right? It's an issue of tumah and tahara about excrement, right? By going to the bathroom, right? However, the end of it, so the Gemara understands an extra level here. Right now, is it Daraisa Darabanan will come to? Right? But I want you to understand, the reason the Rishonim argue about whether this is Daraisa Darabanan is because the context of the Pasuk has nothing to do with what we're about to talk about. The original context has to do with keeping Tumah out of your camp and making sure that there isn't visible excrement. Okay?
Goyas are compared.
No, that's not the point.
How does that connect with this? You're saying the bracha and you actually see a woman while saying the bracha?
No, you're saying the woman on bracha on the woman.
Okay.
That's what's going on.
How does that connect exactly to the pasuk?
No. The Gemara said, how can you be looking at her to say the bracha? You can't be staring at her.
Okay.
Right? How do I know? Because the pasuk says "Shari to call Devarah," and the Gemara derives "Shlo yistak el isha adam beisha noe vafil pnuya beisha vafil pnuya beisha dish vafil mechueres." You shouldn't look at a beautiful single woman, or even an ugly married woman, right? But apparently, the Gemara was not so worried. No, beisha noe vafil pnuya, a beautiful woman, even if she's single.
Not allowed to look at her.
Why is that a chiddush?
Because Rambam said
no, because she's not an erva. Remember, and this is right. Remember, here's the problem, right? Let's say a woman is not an erva, right? She's not an erva. She's not married, and let's say she's not an ida. Maybe she went to the mikvah because remember, in the time of Chazal, single women went to the mikvah because. Being a nida has two implications. One is that the woman is usher to her husband. The second is...
she renders chairs impure.
She renders things impure, right?
Why would you
furniture, yeah. Furniture, clothing, food, which if you have truma lying around, if you have kachim lying around, is a problem.
Sheila.
Yes, it's a pasuk in the Torah. Yes. Multiple pasukim in the Torah.
So my house has truma in it. Okay. Because I have sisters.
You don't have truma in your house. That's why it doesn't matter.
This house has
truma. Yes. Yes, it does.
So what you can't exactly...
It doesn't matter because we don't have truma around. We don't have kachim around. You don't need to be tahor. But if you're... That's true, but who cares if you're tameh and they're tameh? What does it do?
How do you know I'm tameh?
I know you're tameh. Doesn't matter. That wouldn't protect you from all types of tumah. Tumah's mace. Right? You need paraduma. Oh my god. You're so mature. Okay.
What? Rabbi,
stop.
You made it sound like it doesn't matter because they're both tameh. So I said the context of relations because you're not allowed to have relations because they're tameh. But you can put that. What if you put that same reasoning behind? We're both Tommy, so it doesn't matter.
No, that's not how that works.
No, that's not how that works.
I know it's not how it works.
Okay. So the Gemara says, right now, again, and what we're going to see, again, I want you to understand the problems here. Right? What is strange about this? What is strange about this Gemara? Right, the Gemara just told you it's Afilu Pnuya. Do you remember Lo Tikrivu L'Galut Erva, which we just spent 8 Shirim on?
Yeah.
Right? Who does the Isser apply to? An Erva. Someone who is an Erva. Does it apply to a single woman who's gone to the mikvah? No. What Isser is there to, according to Nagid the Rambam? Right? If a woman is not an Ida, to kiss her. She's single. What Isser is there? Nothing! There is no Isser! There is no Isser. She's not an Erva.
She's not Jewish.
I'm not even going with a non-Jewish woman. I'm thinking a Jewish woman. Right? Lo tikrivu l'galut erva. I'm talking about the sugya we did in Yud Zayin. Right? Lo tikrivu l'galut erva. The whole assumption, the entire Gemara was that it was an erva.
She was an impure.
She was an erva, which could be a married woman, a sibling, a mother, right, a daughter, any of the, right, any of the arayos, right? Or a single woman who's anida, right? Here the Gemara tells you, but what if someone's not anida? Right? What biblical prohibition is there to even kiss her romantically? None. Right? What Isser is there to sleep with her? According to Rambam, There is an Isser. According to Ravid, there's not an Isser, even to sleep with her. Right?
What's Rama's Isser again?
Rambam has an Isser of sleeping with a Penuya, but that's a different story. Being a non-married woman. Right? Like, according to Rambam, premarital sex has a formal prohibition. According to Ravid, it may not.
In the Ur-Vasula.
Yes, seriously. Yes, seriously. It is a Ravid.
In the Ur-Vasula 2:17, I memorized the halacha. Rambam tries to get from you shall not make your daughter into a harlot.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
So it's very difficult.
Fine, but let's hold this thought for a minute. Right? The point is that even according to Rambam, if you're talking about a Pnuya, when it comes to physical contact, which is the only thing that might be biblically prohibited, sleeping with her. Right? Intercourse. Right? But hugging, kissing, all that stuff, if she's not a Nida, she's not an Erva, there is no biblical prohibition. But the Gemara says, the what is Usser? The Gemara says, what is Usser? Looking at her.
Gazing at her.
Yes, that's what we're going to come to. So here's the problem. Guys, here's the problem. No, because Avos Derav Nazan is talking about an erva.
So far, right? You've seen these rules of like you can't have relations with her, and meanwhile you have this one that's absolved from all these physical relations.
Correct, and that's that you, can't even look you at understand. Her. This is the irony.
Manuscript difference.
No, right? So now we got to understand. Listen, guys, this is the. Do you understand the reason that the poskim really struggle with this Gemara is because physical. Even intimate contact with a non-married woman who is not in need to short of actual sexual intercourse bears no biblical prohibition. You understand that? There's no biblical prohibition. Right? Maybe, if you combined the Rambam plus the Ramban, namely, the Rambam who says that premarital sex is asur midaraisa, plus the Ramban who had this notion that, which he rejects, but as a havamina, right? Or one of his possibilities, that what? That the reason that hugging and kissing is asur is because it's chatzi shir. So maybe it would be a chatzi shir of halav. Maybe. If you combined it, you could generate a prohibition. But there's no obvious prohibition of touching, even in an intimate fashion.
Even with an idolater?
I'm not talking about that.
I mean, it's a key factor.
One, no, it's not.
It's not?
No.
Yet.
No. It's not at all.
All?
No, the fact that she's an idolatress is irrelevant for the Gemara, right? It's just, it's no different. The Gemara is saying, irrelevant it would be us or... What?
Irrelevant at the moment.
No, it's irrelevant for this Isser in toto.
It's not relevant?
For this Isser. For the Isser of Los Sechanim, obviously it's a issue. Right, for the issue of showing chayin to a non-Jew, obviously that's relevant. Right, for the issue of an Ishmael to be called a Varan, no, it's not relevant. Right? But here's the problem. Right? The Gemara assumes, possibly midaraisa, that what? It's Usser to?
Just look at her.
To stare at her beautiful woman, a single woman, right?
As you said.
But possibly not Usser.
Kiss her.
Yeah, to touch her romantically. Right? Do you understand how strange that is?
Strange.
Right? And this is part of what is driving the Rishonim and the Acharonim to try to figure out what is going on here. But even if you just stop there, right? What would that indicate? What does that indicate? That what's the problem here?
Things don't make sense.
What?
Things don't make sense.
What is the nature of an Ishmael to be called Avara, and what is it not?
Because Avara seems to... is bad to look at her, but not to touch her. Why is looking at her worse than touching her?
Good, tell me. Give me a Svara. Give me the beginning of a Svara.
Oh, well, looking at her is the first step. Once you've gone beyond that, then...
And hugging and kissing her intimately is not beyond the first step?
Right, because the rabbis said, hold on. Because the rabbis figured that if you're going to look at her, then if you're not going to look at her, then good. If you're going to look at her, then they probably figure, you're pretty much screwed at that point anyway.
Because looking will cause something other than sex.
Let me phrase it a little bit differently before you get to exactly what the problem is. The difference seems to be, and here I want to. The simplest difference is lo sikru legalut erva. Remember what we talked about. What makes it problematic? There was one key word that we saw that came up in postgame. in English, we use one word. The poskim focus. No, that yes, but what was the key word? What was the nature of the type of relationship?
Mutual.
Right? Vinishmarta mikol davara. What is the emphasis according to the Gemara? Yes.
One way.
Right? It's one way. It's a prohibition that devolves on the way men relate to women. Right? Now we'll have to get into the question of whether the same is true or the opposite. Right? Does the same type of prohibition apply to women towards men? Right? But why might there be this lack of congruity? Right, that you could somehow articulate the possibility that sexual intimate contact might actually be less problematic than improper staring, because you're dwelling in two different planes. Right, lo tikru requires mutuality. Right, and it could be that the only type of mutual, right, contact that raises to a biblical prohibition is that with an erva, right, or possibly with a non-erva, but. It, at the level of intercourse, right? However, Vinishmar Dimikol Davara is a, at the moment, focus on an individual and how he, to use a modern word, objectifies other people, right? Right? That might, and there might actually be cases when you might violate. Now, why does that matter? Why does it matter that the nature of Vinishmar Dimikol Davara is not mutual? Because what does that explain? Again, what does that explain?
It explains why it's not about it's about you, not the person.
In other words, it explains why it might not depend on the nature of the prohibition between you and the woman. Right? If the nature of the prohibition is a mutual one, then obviously it depends whether the woman is an erva or not. Meaning, if the prohibition is don't engage in mutual romantic touch,
okay.
Right? Meaning, right? I, by mutual, I don't mean consent, right? Meaning, obviously, it's prohibited whether it's consensual or not consensual. But I mean, right? Lotikaru is something which prohibits a relationship, right? Certain types of relationships.
What do you mean by relationships?
I mean something that involves a man and a woman.
Yeah, I know, but
That's all I mean.
Okay.
Right? Something involves a man and a woman. If you're trying to ask the question, when is a relationship between a man and a woman problematic? What question must you ask? Is this woman
an
erva to them? No. Is the woman an erva to the man? Meaning, is their relationship problematic? Right? You can't talk about a problematic relationship unless there is a problem in the relationship. But if she's not an erva, then there is no ostensible problem. And therefore, lotikravu cannot be relevant.
But still, it's so confusing. I understand the point.
One second. But Mishmar to be called a vara, if it focuses on the way that for the moment men relate to women, right? It's not about the relationship, it's about a problematic way that he is relating to some outside, but she's not involved. Which means that it doesn't require gauging the nature of their relationship, because the issue is in his head,
right,
or in his eyes, right, and therefore it could theoretically be more machmir than touch, right? It's counterintuitive, but what it forces you to recognize that the issue of the Nishmar Dimikol Davara, as opposed to Lotikru Lagalot Erva, is not about a problem in the relationship. It's a problem in the way he relates to. Again, the English word is helpful here. It's the way he objectifies her. Right? Ephraim. Yes?
It's counterintuitive. I don't like things that are counterintuitive at all. So, I mean, what you're saying makes sense. It's just counterintuitive.
So I'm just thinking about it. No, by the way. Yeah. By the way, I will point out, obviously, right, that the chance that whatever prohibition he's about to violate, he will not violate if he is engaged in intimate touch with a single woman, right? The chances that he won't violate this by touching her are low, right? 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 I'm not saying practically that this will often happen, right? But you tell me, right? What's the one case that we've already seen where this comes up? What is a case in which this makes sense? Where is it going to make sense? Train. That's exactly the argument Rav Moshe makes. Right? That even if I'm shoved up against the woman, and it might cause machshavot, the negiyah is not usur. Why?
Because there's no re'iyah.
Because it's one way.
Because, right? Because I don't, it's not a derech taiv, I don't want to be there. But I'm shoved, right? The separate prohibition, right? Meaning, there's a separate prohibition of machshava, which Rav Moshe says in a chanami. Try to solve it. Right? But they are, you can't split them. Right? Meaning, one can be shoved up against a woman and not have machshavot. But that's Rav Moshe's point. Right? It can happen. Right? Okay. So now he says, now, why does he say, now, listen, let's, 1 second. Now I want to, let's be very careful in the Gemara. The Gemara brings up two hechitimtzas. Either a good-looking single woman, or an ugly married one.
Right.
Right? Why are those the Gemara's two hechitimtzas?
Because it's two extremes.
It's not the extremes.
He just wants to show that doesn't make a difference.
What? One second, I'm not there yet, but why did the Gemara bring that up?
The thing is, he wants to see the difference. Doesn't make a difference. Who you're staring at?
He wants to bring up both.
That you could do. You could.
There's no difference between Arab and non-Arab.
So what do you take out my significant?
Yeah, I know, but he ignored you.
Come on, one second. I just have to. Right, my brother-in-law is asking me for something. Second. What? My brother-in-law left his shoes at my house, and he's coming by. I'm giving shear. Okay, I'm giving shear. There we go. Okay, tell me why.
It doesn't make a difference.
Why?
Doesn't make a difference if it's beautiful or non beautiful.
But it does. The Gemara says there's a difference.
No, yeah, but he says by star gazing at her and how beautiful, how
the Gemara says there's a difference. Why is it different?
But
come on, think like
he's not mutual.
Good, why?
A beautiful single woman is someone that is very desirable to a person.
Good.
And could be in the future permitted. Whereas an ugly married woman is someone that is not desirable to a person. No?
Come on.
It's not mutual.
Because this is not like lumpish.
But it wasn't made.
Right? The Gemara is being very practical. The Gemara is saying an ugly single woman. Right? He's just saying it's unlikely that the guy is staring at her. Right? What, an ugly single woman? It's unlikely the guy is staring at her.
Married woman.
No, 1 second. But he's saying, but when it comes to a married woman, there's an added problem because, right? Yes, there's an erva. Right? And therefore, even if it's unlikely, we have to bring up the possibility. Right? Because, and it could be the Gemara saying, Maim Genuvim Yim Taku, or the Gemara has this notion in Sanhedrin, right? That things that are usur sometimes become desirable because they're usur. Right? So it could be the married woman, even if she wouldn't be desirable, maybe it's because she's usur, right? Because she's nerva, suddenly that makes it whatever, I don't know. But then the Gemara goes farther, and this, by the way, proves that the issue at hand is not mutuality, it's objectification, right? It's the nature of the objectification, because then the Gemara in Chavam Beis, turn over to Chavam Beis, says, below Bivigdei Tseva Shel Isha. Right? Once you say that the issue, right, you might have thought that the issue was, right, looking at a woman, because it's some extension of erva. But the Gemara is telling you, no, it's an issue of what? Now, by the way, how does the Gemara know this? Because what was the context in the Pasuk? The Toma of Zera, of someone who had Otsah Zera, who had an ejaculation, right? Now that is only going to, right, that clearly has a sexual overtone, right? But it's not necessarily that there's a woman involved. He says it could be that big day seva shalisha, right? You can stare at her colored clothing. Now again, why colored clothing?
Expensive.
It was rare.
No, but it's also
rare.
Yeah.
It was rare, right? That was the issue. Because as we'll see, the postman will say nowadays, big deal, right? How many people, when they walk, now, I mean, the Gemara is going to say it's only clothes of a woman you recognize, but like nowadays, right, the post can say big deal. Yeah, but nowadays the post can say big deal, right? Honestly, what, you go to someone's house, you put your coat in their closet, and, you know, the wife's blue winter coat is hanging there, right? The poskim are like, that's not what we're talking about, right? Like, it's like the generic blue coat that she bought from God knows what store that everybody has.
Signature brand.
Right? Exactly. Like, nobody cares. Right?
It's so funny. It's like, that's like the generic of generic.
Yeah, exactly. My point, right? It could be, right? It was always like the joke in Toronto. Like, like, there's this one designer who designs sneakers clothes and at good prices. So everybody has the same dresses, right? So, like, if you see it, you don't know whose it is, right? Like, thank God. Like, this is, like, one of those times where I say, Shalos Ani Isha with, like, Kavana, because, like, look, nobody looks at you and says, oh, you're wearing the same white shirt, black pants, and suit. Oh, right? Like, But
just the same white shirt.
Right, they're all like, oh, it's the same white shirt. My God, I can't be seen in the same room as people wearing... It's 100 people wearing the same thing, right? But women really don't like it, right? But in a culture like that, where everyone... In a harami, right? The post can say, that's not going to... The average person... Yeah, exactly. For the average person, that's not going to, like... It's not going to excite them, right? Oh, right? But in the time of the Gemara, right, clothes were handmade. They were specific to a particular woman, so they brought, right, and especially colored clothing, right? You know this is hers, right? And if it's someone that you're attracted to, right, you think of this piece of clothing as hers, right? Right? It's like the women's equivalent of Yosef's Technicolor dream coat. Fine? Right? You think of her. Fine? Okay? Good. But now the Gemara makes it clear that the issue at hand is not even
the woman.
It's not the woman at all. It is what? What's the issue? What is the issue of Mishmar to Koldovara according to the Gemara?
Anything that might get you going.
Exactly. Right? Anything that excites the man sexually. Right? Therefore, it says it could be by looking at a woman, it could be by looking at the clothes he identifies with her, but it could also be with watching animals mate. Right? Right, and yes, people don't realize this, but watching the Discovery Channel, Maza, I don't know, right? And watching like these, whatever, right?
Aleva Torah, they found this like little kitten, and they raised it up, and it was.
You should not be watching them copulate, right? It's just not what we do. We're
it's
not.
So
yes, it's us, as Gmar says. Okay, guys.
This is his first time.
Guys, listen.
About this saying.
Guys, listen.
Say,
guys. Velo bechazir, velo bechazira. It doesn't matter if it's a donkey mating. It doesn't matter if it's a pig mating. Velo baofos bismanchin is gakin zeloze, and not with birds. Now, I'm just gonna guess. Why does the Gemara say bismanchin is gakin zeloze? Right, when they are attached to each other. Yeah, I assume that's the point, right? Because it's hard to actually see that they are in the middle of mating. It just you sort of assume that's what's going on. And then Gemara is saying even that's problematic, right? And then he says, "Vafilu meloi nayim."
Regular nice movement, so
you whatever. Yeah, you don't know. Fine, he says, "Vafilu meloi nayim kamalach hamavis." Right, even if you're filled with eyes like the angel of death, Amru alav malach hamavis shekulo meloi nayim. The malach hamavis is filled with eyes.
There was this part of the Gemara that was just annoying.
Yeah, I don't know what to do with it.
Stuck right in the middle.
Right. B'shas b'dirasur shchala omed me'al me'ra shosav v'chavah shlufa b'yado v'tipa shemar tluya bo kevin shchala roos omizdazeah potech piv v'zargul doch piv mimena mace mimena masriach mimena piv morikos. Fine, the Gemara says, right, the Yetzer Hara stands over you, and when you're dying, made of all eyes, you freak out, opens your mouth, and the poison drops off his sword and kills you and makes you rot. Fine. So the Gemara says, well, the whole point was, I have no idea what to do with that. I don't want to get into it. I don't know what to do with it.
The point was, Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel was walking around.
So the Gemara says, so how was it that he saw the woman to make a bracha? Right? You, by this point, you forget what we're doing.
That happened to me.
Right? You're like, what is going on?
It ends up in three words.
And the Gemara says, Karen Zavazavai. Right, what happened? He was taking a leisurely walk, and pitom, he turns the corner, and his jaw drops, right? There's a gorgeous woman, and his natural reaction is, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, right? Shekach Ala, right, Baolamo. Right, you, right, Shekach Barel Baolamo. You created beauty such as this, okay? Yeah, this is like when people joke about from pickup lines, right? This is right up there, right? You know.
Are there from pickup lines?
Here's one, right? Right? Please, if someone is aware of it, Ephraim, you go over to someone, you say, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Shekach Alo Balamam Shebarach Kach Balam, whatever. And she says, what is that? Said, I'm sorry, it's just a blessing we make to God when we see a beautiful work of nature. Right?
Well, somehow I feel like she's not going to know that.
Well,
somehow I feel like she's not going to know that.
It's even better, you can explain it.
Her to learn tomorrow.
But you can explain it, it's even better. Right? Oh.
Here, let me explain over some falafel.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Explain over some falafel.
Siri, what's the
whole man?
My God. Really, okay, fine.
Really okay,
guys. Guys,
Siri, when we learn the Isser of the...
No, I said falafel.
Okay, that's just creepy. Anyways, fine.
I said falafel is really a pickup line.
Watching fornication... Is that
really
the history of like adult film? It's very bad.
You can't watch animals copulating or mating. So yes, you can't watch human beings do that either. Shocking! Yes! Yay! Yay! I'm glad we concluded that. Baruch Hashem. Yes. I'm gonna give away the end. I'm gonna 1 second. Yosef, I'm gonna give away the end. I know this is shocking. Yes. What? I am recording.
What do you put this on?
Why are you talking about?
Do you hear him?
Yes. Yeah. Well, and there are actually people who listen because I've gotten comments recently. They're not important, right? But yes, I'm going to give away the end. Yosef, I know this is shocking. But yes, according to Halacha, pornography is usur. Who knew? Who knew? Yes, yes, it is usur.
What?
Oh my God. Yes. Look. Yosef, Yosef, to quote Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Ray Willig once told me from... Guys. Ray Willig once told me from Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, Shimon, he said that someone was asked Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, is it mutter to watch movies during Sfiras HaOmer? Okay? And Rav Aaron Soloveitchik told him, if it's a movie which is mutter to watch not during Sfiras HaOmer, then it's mutter to watch it during Sfiras HaOmer. And if it's a movie that's not mutter during Sfiras HaOmer, then it's also not mutter during Sfiras HaOmer. It's like, look, it's not the movie. I'm not telling you every movie you watch is mutter, right? If it's a mutter movie, it's mutter, right? Many movies are nisht mutter, right? Or nisht mutter, or in other words, osur midoraisa. Okay. I understand. I'm.
This isn't even a yesh ladun.
No, there is no yesh ladun. No yesh ladun.
Are we allowed to see Charlie Chaplin in Sfiras HaOmer?
Yes.
Let me see. There's some movies there.
There you go. Okay, good. Okay, guys. So now, guys, what is the issur here? So, what is the issur here? Why is this usur? And I want you to be careful. What might you think is the reason this is usur? But what does the Gemara not explicitly mention that you might think is in the background, but it's not clear?
Wait, what has it not explicitly mentioned? Yes.
No, it never does. But then we're going to continue with the Gemara. Right? But 1 second.
What's the question?
Right? What is the Gemara not yet introduced? Right? The Gemara will, but what is the Gemara not yet introduced? Good. Right? Good. The Gemara has not yet introduced. Right? Now, the Gemara has not yet introduced the problem here that it causes, right, a seminal omission. Right? Therefore, right, as we'll see, what... Now... The Gemara will, but what might that imply? So, one possibility is that there are two potential prohibitions. Let me phrase it differently. Meaning, even without causing a seminal omission, it's usur, but if it causes seminal omission, in English we call it, it adds insult to injury, right? It's, or in Hebrew, mosif ched al pesha. Right? Right? Meaning you're adding sin to sin, right? You're adding more sin, right? You're double, right? That's possibility, right? Or you could say that you qualify, or you could just say no, the Gemara is going to bring it up, right? The Gemara is going to bring it up, and what? Once it brings it up,
then it's only
that qualifies the type of Isser. L'may nafkamina. What's the difference?
One is if...
What's the difference? Give me two nafkaminas. Give me two nafkaminas, whether these are two Isurim, meaning it's Usur to cause, right, is seminal mission, one. And two, it's usher to have machshavot raot regardless, right? Or saying that, no, one is caused by the other. What's the nafkamina?
Well, one is if you do it and then don't have something.
Correct, right? Or, right, now, give me a very important nafkamina. Another very important nafkamina. This is the nafkamina that the post can really deal with. I gave it to you later. Well, that might be. But give me a very important nafkamina. Is there any iser histaklus for women?
Oh, for women looking at men.
For women looking at men. Right? If you think these are two pendant, independent Isurim, and when, if it gets to the Madrega of seminal mission, it's Mosek Chet al Pesach, two sins, so then women are at least included in one of two. But if you say that no, it's only Usur because of a different Isur, then women might not be Usur, right? And this is a Machlokas Haposkim, right? And this is important. Okay? Now, so Gemara continues. V'lo b'vig de seva shel isha. If you want to do me a favor, you can text my brother-in-law. It's okay. But then, let me just give me a second. If you come, you can interrupt.
What do you want me to do?
No, it's fine. Okay. Fine. Okay, good. So now the Gemara continues.
Guys, the point is handshaking is usher.
No, it's not. We already went through this last week. That was last week's share. We're in a different share. No. Okay, guys. Okay. Below Bivigdi Seva Shalisha. Some reviewed Amar Shmuel Afilushtuch and Agabe Akotel. Agabe Kotel. When we say that you can't look at the woman's colorful clothing, we mean even when it's not on her, right? Pashut if it's on her, right? Even hanging up, right? Meaning in her closet, right? You can't look at it in her closet. Now, Amar Apapa V'makir Ba'alayhen. But this is only when you know who owns them, right? We're not talking about going to Macy's. We're not talking about looking around at the clothing.
What's Macy's?
We're not talking. We're talking about coats. We're not in a Hanami. Listen to me. The formal prohibition that the Gemara just listed does not apply, right, to clothes that don't have an owner yet. I am right there that the general prohibition that's being introduced of not doing things that create a situation in which you have machshavat raot should forbid you from walking into Naniach Victoria's Secret, right? Yes, that's not halachically sanctioned, right? I want that on, right? You can sign my name onto that. That you, Mr. 18-year-old single guy, right? And to be fair, even married person, right? Right? I don't walk into such stores. Shocking, right? I know, right? It's shocking. I don't walk into such stores. Really? Who would have guessed? No, I've gone into Macy's.
I don't know what's Macy's.
Macy's is a department store. Okay. Macy's department store. Okay, fine. Good. So, Amarava, now Rava says, Dekanami diktani velo bivig de tseva isha. Right, because it says not the color clothing of a woman, which implies, no, a specific woman, like her clothing. No, because the Gemara is saying, how many people are attracted, they're walking through Costco, right, since we brought Kirkland, and they see a generic, not particularly promiscuous, heavy winter coat for women, right? It's like, promiscuous clothes may attract people, right? But the average person, if he sees a generic blue coat that belongs to nobody in particular, big deal!
Yeah, what's the Havamina here? I mean,
I'm confused.
The Havamina, I assume the Havamina is that in time of the Gemara, women's clothing, women's colored clothing were rare, so it still might have, right? Now, we saw already some of the posts in the city, but nowadays, nobody cares.
Yeah.
Right, nowadays, you have 100 clothes, right? Nobody cares, even if it belongs to a specific woman. Nobody, right? You're not, most normal people are not excited to see that blue coat in Costco, nor in somebody's closet, right? In their front hall closet. Nicht gefährlich, right?
So you remember that time when, like, David was watching his chick baby?
Stop! You don't have to be crude. That's just crude. That's crude. That's crude. Not rude. Crude. Crude. That's crude. Stop. 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 No. Stop. Stop.
That's what happened. Isn't that? I can show you.
Do you need? Do you need to? Whatever. Anyways.
Was it crude?
Velo k'tani. Velo b'gzad tziv onin shmamina. Okay. Then the Gemara goes on. I'm Rav Chisdani Milu Batikev Echad Dilistan. But there's only old clothing. What does old clothing mean?
kids worn out?
Like, no, see, that's what you would think it means. No, it means clothing that have been worn by somebody. But not, right, meaning even if it belongs to someone, but she's never worn it yet. Right?
So second hand.
Right? Right? So he says, "Dilo temalchi anan min anan mina lashvure heche avinen hakam istakel." Right? Because then the alternative is, he said, "Why? How do I know it's mutter?"
He says, "How do you send it to the laundry?"
Yeah, how do you give it to? No, not the laundry. We'll come back to it. It's the tailor, right? That's what he's talking about. The tailor, right?
Then he can't do his job.
Right, so then the Gemara says, nah, it's not a proof.
More focused on his job.
And the Gemara says, that's not a proof, because maybe that's a special heter, which we'll come back to, which is called Osik B'malachto. Right, but the Gemara said, wait a second, we already said you can't watch animals mating, but what about a breeder? What about someone whose job is to breed animals?
But you said
he's allowed to physically mate them. He's allowed to put. He's allowed to be involved in the actual penetration.
Money, not pleasure, though.
So he says he's allowed to. What's kimchachol bishvo feret?
To crush into a tube.
Yes, right. It is a mashal. Right, the Gemara used for penetration. It's like taking an applicator, right, a mascara applicator, and putting it in the tube. Right, you should get the image. Right, fine. Right. So he says, the Gemara says, "Honka mistakel ela ba'avid de'darach." Now, but he said it's true, but he's doing it. He's involved in work, and that's a special heter. Correct, and that's a special heter. Okay.
And now the Gemara gets back into that annoying.
So now the Gemara gets back into it. Fine, I'm going to. Let's skip the rest of the dead thing. I don't know what's going on. Let's go back to Tanur Rabbanan. So now the Gemara introduces the second element. Tanur Rabbanan. V'nishmarta mikol davara. Shelo yahara adam bayom v'yavo lidei tumah balayla. Now tell me, remember I told you, the first halacha in the Gemara, right, seems to be an extension of the pasuk. But now the Gemara says you're not supposed to think improper thoughts during the day, such that you have an emission at night.
Right.
Where does the Gemara get that from the pasuk? No, because the actual context of the pasuk is that if someone is tamei keri, meaning at a seminal emission, you have to kick him out of the camp. Right? This is back to pshat. Right? Now we're back to pshat. Right? Now, that might support what? Which read? That they are the same Isser, that it's only one Isser. Right? I mean, if you want to tie the Isser only to Pshat,
it's only doing it if it's going to cause an emission.
Correct, in such a way that it might cause an emission. Right? However, if you split it, then you say, look, there's the Pshat, and then there's an added Isser. Right? So now the Gemara says, Mikan. Based on this, Amar of Pinchas ben Yair, and if you've ever read Mesilas Yesharim, you should know this brisa because it is how it starts the book. Torah mevia lidei zehiros. Torah brings you to being careful. Zehiros mevia lidei zrizos. Being careful leads you to alacrity. Zrizos mevia lidei nikios. Alacrity leads you to cleanliness. Nikios mevia lidei precious. That leads you to uy gavalt. Leads you to being separateness, piety. Precious mevia lidei tara. That brings you to purity. Tara mevia lidei chasidos. And purity leads you to righteousness. Chasidus mevia lidei anava. Righteousness brings you to humility. Anava mivia lide yirashet. Humility leads you to fear of sin. Yirashet mivia lide kedusha. And that leads you to holiness. Kedusha mivia lide ruach hakodesh. And that leads you to whatever ruach hakodesh means, divine inspiration. Ruach hakodesh mivia lide tchias hamesim. That leads you to coming back from the dead. And then the Gemara gets into a deal of what's better, anavim or chasidus. Great. Okay, good. Good, fine. So now, guys, okay? What are the central questions? Again, guys, so remember, at this stage, we've read just the central Gemara. The Gemara has introduced an Isser of histaklus, of looking at women, looking at objects that remind you of either a particular woman or sexuality in general. Correct? Right? I mean, the woman's clothing / animals mating. Yeah? And then the Gemara introduces a prohibition of? Correct. Now, what we need to figure out is what is the connection between these? Meaning, is it that there's one big prohibition? That the reason you have to avoid seeing or thinking about sexuality is because it can lead to emissions? Or are those two separate prohibitions? Nafgamina, what happens if you know it's not? right? 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 If you know it's not going to cause an emission, or you're talking about a woman.
Wait, so we had three. We had three levels, right? Gazing, thinking, and receiving harm.
Good. We also have to distinguish, and again...
The last two, the thinking and the someone harm.
Correct, because you might at first glance think that what? That seeing is definitely worse than thinking, but that, right? Because they're more mamashos. But that may not be true. Right? It may be that seeing is usher, because it might lead to thought, and thought is usher, because he gufa is the problem, or because it.
Well, kind of seems according to the Gemara that.
Or because it leads to the emission. We don't know. Is it intrinsically problematic or not?
But the Gemara kind of seems like there's two separate Isurim.
You're right. I think the simplest problem of the Gemara is that there's two separate levels of Isurim, right, in a Hanami, right? And again, we're going to see that, for example, Moshe Feinstein is going to take that argument that there's two types of Isurim, nafkamina for women. Right? That women are in one of them, are relevant for one of them, but not for both. Okay? And we need to figure out the connection between this and Lotikravu. Right? Because again, the simplest shot here is that it is not related to Lotikravu because it specifically doesn't include. It includes even people who are not Arayos and even non humans. Right? Okay. Okay. Very quickly.
I don't know.
Now, the next Gemaras, listen, what I want you to do tomorrow at least, okay, is I want you to get through all these Gemaras, right, because there are several other Gemaras that deal with these potentially problematic situations, okay? I want you to get through as many of them as you can, okay? I want you to get to at least number 13. No, you know what? I want you to try to get at least to 15, and try to at least finish the first page, right? Which is all the Gemaras. It's Tosas on our page, the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch. Okay. Okay. Now, you know what? Okay. No, you know what, guys? Okay. One last thing before we break. Listen. Now, from this Gemara, what would you guess? Is looking problematic intrinsically or problematic because it leads to thinking?
It's
not clear.
It's very unclear.
From the beginning.
Gemara, it seems there very is from
there is another Gemara. I probably should have put this in a different order. But if you look at number 16 and 17, the Sifrei and the Gemara in Brachos, the Gemara is going to introduce a prohibition that is eye focused, namely a different pasuk which we haven't talked about yet, which is. Lo sasuru acharei levavchem acharei einechem. Right? So another question we have to figure out is, when we talk about the prohibition of looking, is that because looking leads to thinking? Or because looking is problematic intrinsically? Right? And, as Donnie already hinted at, there may be a difference between looking and staring. And it could be that what? Well, we have to think about the possibility that maybe the issur of looking is only staring, but putting yourself in a situation where you might look might be problematic, not because it counts as staring, but because...
Like what it might lead to.
Because of what it lead to, right? If you aren't already clear, right, what issur might be generated from these prohibitions, but specifically from the Gemara you'll see in Bava Basra, right? You talked about watching particular types of entertainment. But there's another problem.
Going to certain...
Yes, going to a situation where you might see that, right?
What do you mean, promiscuous?
A beach. A beach or whatever.
Nightclubs.
Right.
Oh my God,
nightclubs. Correct! Okay, good. Guys... Guys, try to get through. Look, guys, try to get as far as you can in the Makoros. Try to get as far as you can in the Makoros, okay?